It was so congealed that it didn't do anything. It flew into the air and like fell back down and broke apart into like a couple chunks.
Do you love the outdoors?
Do you love to travel?
Do you love finding hidden treasures in towns all over the USA? Hi, I'm Joshua.
And I'm Craig, and welcome to Treasures of Our Town, the podcast that takes you on a journey to explore the unique and charming towns scattered throughout the United States.
Join us as we venture into some of the country's most intriguing destinations, uncovering hidden gems and local secrets along the way.
On today's episode, Josh, we're going to chat again with a special guest. This is part two with Megan from the Iowa. And all the secrets that she's going to release to us.
You know what? She had so many secrets about Iowa. I know. It could not be contained in one episode.
Well, no, because we try to keep our episodes to an hour, but we never really do.
We're going back to Iowa, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we have an episode filled with value. You're going to learn about some stuff.
Oh, wow.
That you've never heard of before.
Yeah.
And my gut is that this is going to make you very interested in mm-hmm. doing a little week-long maybe adventure, 2 weeks maybe, mm-hmm. throughout the great state of Iowa, the Hawkeye State.
And again, Josh, what you said in last episode as well, when you said that it's a flyover state, I get it now. You don't really hear of Iowa on the map per se. But now, after speaking with Megan as well, and if you want this, don't forget, guys, as well, if you want this not just audio but visually as well, she does have a couple of books that are out now, that have been released out now and that are available. Links are in the show notes for her books as well. Some of these things, Josh, are incredible. And we only touched the surface. We only got 10 out of the 84.
Yes, 84 destinations in her book. Mm-hmm. And the thing I love about Megan, and this is the hook to mm-hmm. make sure you listen to this whole episode. Mm-hmm. Not only does she like know about these places, she's been there and she's done the research. You're going to hear some of the history behind why some of these places exist.
Exactly. And she's not reading out of the book itself. She's going off her memory. She's been there. She's done that. And she's written the book.
Yeah. She's literally written the book on Iowa.
Exactly.
And so without further ado, let's just jump in with Megan Bannister from Olio, in Iowa.
We're back, Josh. This is episode or part two, I should say, of talking to Megan from Olio in Iowa. Megan, thank you for joining us again for part two. It took so long after the first one. And you know me, I'm a stickler for time as well. So we've got to get into more of these big things, secret things, all about Iowa, Josh.
Oh, this show is so big. It's like this podcast is like a big thing now because I don't think we have ever had two episodes dedicated to one interview, but Megan has so much great information about mm-hmm. the great state of Iowa, the Hawkeye State, not the Cyclone State. Just saying.
So, Megan, thank you so much for joining us for part two as well. Just quickly, if you haven't heard part one, go back and listen to part one, or if you don't want to, Megan, just tell us quickly about yourself, just quickly.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. So I'm a freelance writer, a blogger, an author based in Des Moines, Iowa, and I like to write about all of the weird, wacky, kind of wonderful and obscure things you can find around Iowa, the Midwest, and mm-hmm. even further.
Perfect. And you've written two books, as we spoke about mm-hmm. in the last episode as well, The Supper Club and also now Secret Iowa, which is now released. And Josh, now's the cutoff time as well for our patrons. If you're not a patron by now, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on actually obtaining one of these books from us. Like one of our patrons is going to win a book.
But if you don't win, you should go buy one.
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody should go buy this book. I'm going to go buy one. I'm really excited about it. We talked a lot about awesome things. Now, Megan, she is an expert. I'm just going to say it. She is an expert. It's very clear based on the first episode with Megan. She's an expert on all things Iowa, secret Iowa. But you know what, Craig? Mm-hmm. I said it before. I was born in Iowa. Craig, I know things about Iowa. I know some things. So actually on the last episode, I taught Megan about something, a secret, about Pete and Shorty's.
Oh, that's right.
Shorty's, which is a national chain. There's only two locations, but it's a chain based on a little dive bar in Clarksville, Iowa. So I want to add a question that's not on the show notes. One of my most interesting locations is the crash site of Buddy Holly just outside Clear Lake, Iowa. Greg, do you know about this?
No. I know Buddy about Holly. Buddy Holly's crash site. I don't know.
Buddy Holly, Big Bopper, Richie Valens.
Yeah.
They did their last show at the Surf Ballroom in Clear Lake, Iowa, and they crash in a field, and you can actually visit in the middle of a field the crash site. And the cool thing is the trail where it begins is a giant pair of Buddy Holly glasses.
Oh, that's really cool. It's weird, Megan, but cool.
Yeah, Megan, I assume you've been here. You've been to the location.
I have, yes. I've been out to the crash site and then to the Surf Ballroom quite a few times. And they actually, every year, one of my things that I'm hoping to get to next year is, so they were performing as part of the Winter Dance Party, was the like tour that they were on. It was in February. And they, every year at the Surf Ballroom still do a Winter Dance Party where they have like, era appropriate music and people dress up, and they have a day that all of the school kids like go on a field trip and do like a sock hop, which is very cute. But yeah, you can go and kind of learn about the history and go to your own Winter Dance Party and pay your respects to the day the music died.
Yes. Yeah. You know that song, Craig?
Mm-hmm.
Don McLean. Bye-bye, Miss American. Mm-hmm. That's based on... Yes.
Yeah, I can't sing.
The music died.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they did make a movie about it as well. I remember the movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, there have been several movies. The Buddy Holly story.
Yeah.
Then La Bamba. I saw
La Bamba.
Which is both great movies. Gary Busey. I almost would say Gary Busey might be a better Buddy Holly than Buddy Holly. Like, he was great. I think he won an Academy Award for being Buddy Holly. He actually sang in that movie.
Wow.
Very good.
Wow.
And I believe, tell me if I'm wrong, Megan, maybe you know this, did they record that scene in the actual Surf Ballroom for in La Bamba or the Buddy Holly story? Yeah, I don't know either.
That I don't know.
Oh, look at that. Anyway. We've stumped her, Josh. We've stumped her about the secrets of Iowa in Iowa. Yes.
Ask my Clear Lake gal.
Is the crash site in the book, or is that one of the ones you left out?
It is. Yep, that one is in the book.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we did speak about, in the last episode, we spoke about five out of her 10 favorites, Megan's 10 favorites. So we're going to speak now of the next five. There's five more to go, Josh.
Yes.
And I'll go straight away on the next one itself, is the Ida Grove Castles in Ida Grove. Mm-hmm. There are castles. Josh just came back from Germany, and he said there's no castles in the U.S.
Oh, yeah. So these are a little bit quirky castles. Mm. So there was a man who was a local in Ida Grove who decided, and it's a, I think, probably like 2,000 person town. So it's pretty rural on the not super small, but smaller side. And he owned like a fabrication company called Midwest Industries, and decided that he, you know, wanted, instead of having your normal company buildings like you would have, he was a history buff. He really loved castles. And so he decided he was going to make his office buildings castles instead of just your normal run-of-the-mill buildings. And so he decided like medieval style 12th century was the directive. And so he made the first ones, which were like some private office buildings that are all like castle shaped. And then it kind of took off because he noticed that like, wow, people are stopping and they think this is kind of cool. And so the whole town kind of adopted it. And so there's a shopping plaza that's a castle. Oh, their skating rink is a castle, like a giant white castle. The little like signs when you enter the town, they have like a little, like almost a tower with like the corner piece that you would find at like a medieval style fort that has like Ida Grove on it. There's their newspaper offices are a castle. There's like a giant drawbridge on their golf course. So the whole town has really leaned into and Castle.
Tell me, they're fast food joints. Are they all White Castles or is McDonald's there as well?
No, we don't have White Castle in
Ireland. Oh, look at that.
Yeah. To my knowledge,
They're pretty rare. We only have a few in the Twin Cities here.
White Castles are delicious.
You can find. You have to go to the Chicagoland area for that.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Megan, I'm just looking at pictures of this. I did not know this existed.
Aren't and you
know
wild? What?
Craig, I just had an idea. You know, so Megan, on my YouTube channel, I'm the geocaching vlogger on YouTube. I do geocaching adventures. And every couple years, I do a series called Cache Tour, where I select a location. I do a series of videos on that one location. So I've done I've done the Pacific Northwest. I've done Brazil. I've done Alaska. I've done Germany. I think it would be hilarious, Craig, if the next cache tour, I use Megan's book.
Yes.
And my next cache tour is just going around to all these quirky things in Iowa.
That'd be fun. I bet
I can come with you then, too.
Yeah, let me know. Meet up. I bet a lot of them have – I know there's a good handful that have geocache locations, or if they're not on the thing, they're very close by.
Oh, yeah. So maybe coming soon, cache tour, season 5. Iowa.
Well, Josh, just to let you know, I'm actually looking at some of the photos too now as well. The Skate Palace is incredible. The
Skate Palace. I was like, we have to come back to Skate.
Okay, here. I got to look at that.
Cool. You got to look at the Skate Palace, Josh. I just looked it under photos. It just to let people know who listen to yourself, it's a white, full on white castle itself, and it has on the top pyramid or corner parts of it as well. They're all orange or red colored. Of course, it's got the American flag at the front, and it's got Skate Palace in black, like cursive writing written across the front. It looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think it's got it's two knights at the front as well.
Yeah, and the Statue of Liberty is out front too.
Yeah,
oh, it is too.
Why not?
People don't know this about me, but I'm a pretty avid roller skater. Did you know that about me, Craig?
No, I didn't.
I actually own a pair of quad speed skates because I'm a child of the 80s. Like that was my babysitter when I was a child. And I actually practice with the Twin Cities Terrors roller derby, men's roller derby team.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And it got a little bit too hard on my body. So I'm always up for a great roller skating rink. So I'm going to go to the Skate Palace, and that'll be a great episode on my YouTube channel for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Wow. The things we see.
So good. I'm going to ask this now in case I forget, Megan. In your book, Secret Iowa, is there like in the back, is there a map that has like little of all the 84 places of all the locations?
So there is not in the book, but I am also that visual person, and I like to be able to say like what things are nearby that I can. So I do have one created that I'm going to be putting on my website, so you can access it.
Because geocachers in particular, we love checking off boxes. Mm-hmm. So a geocacher would listen to this, or anybody, but geocachers, we just love the sense of completion. They're gonna get your book, and they're gonna be like, check, did that one, and that there's gonna be great pride in getting all 84 locations. And
for sure,
I don't know if you have this on your blog, but it would be an awesome idea to take these 84 locations. Maybe you've done this or thought of this. Take the 84 locations and make road trips based on the different areas. You know what I mean? So like, you can hit these 10 in easily 3 days. Yeah, just it would be really great to couple them together to really just have, kind of help people with their planning if they want to indeed hit all 84 locations.
That's a great idea.
I like that. I like that. But just to let people know as well, obviously the links to Megan's website are in the show notes as well. So yeah, and updates from there. So next one you have on your list, Megan, is the Black Angel of Oakland Cemetery.
This is another fun. Yeah. Like spooky folklore.
And I'm looking at photos, Josh. It is very, very spooky.
It is very spooky.
Yeah.
It's been fun since the book will be out, like just in time for Halloween, kind of coming up with all the spooky spots from the book, because there's a good list. Mm-hmm. But this one is in Iowa City, in a cemetery that's pretty close to Iowa City's downtown. And it is actually a grave marker from like the early 1900s. And so there is a family, the Feldeverts, I can never say it correctly. but she, the mother, Teresa, moved to Iowa City with her son. He passed away. And so if you're looking at the photos, there's the big kind of black angel statue. But then to the side of that, there's a smaller like tree stump monument that she had created for him. And then her second husband, 10 or 12 years later, also passed away. And so that's when she had the angel commissioned. And it originally was like not the creepy black patina, but because of the Iowa weather and what it was made from, because it was a bronze statue, it oxidized really quickly. And so that gives it some of its ominous look. But it is like a larger than human life size bronze angel with like an arm and giant wings extended. And she's got kind of like a downcast face that gives sort of a creepy
She's kind of looking down to her right, and she's looking over that other grave or the other monument part, which looks like a tree stump. But then she's got her right arm and wing like hovered over the top of it to try and like cover the tree stump. But the other one's just down below beside her. So it's really a weird looking, strange type thing where it's like a mother covering her child. That's what gives it that little sort of down feeling too.
Yes. And then so naturally, because it has kind of an ominous feeling to it, there's lots of local folklore about what happens. And so there's stories of, you know, like if you kiss the black angel at midnight on Halloween, you'll be turned to stone or struck dead, or, you know, all of the college town folklore.
Only in America.
You gotta love black it.
Flame candle. But yeah, so that is a good one to add to your spooky list. And there was actually, I don't think it ever got produced, but for a while somebody was working on like a Blair Witch style scary movie about it, but I don't think anything ever came
that could
it.
Be your 2024 Halloween video, Josh. Yeah, there we could do that for sure.
It's actually a beautiful statue. I'm looking at it right now.
Yes, and like the detailing, some of her fingers have gotten snapped off over the years, and there's been some vandalism. I think the last time I was there, she had on like bright red lipstick, but... it's a very pretty statue.
It's a college town, so that's not surprising. And I just want to encourage people, if you are listening to this podcast at home or at work, it's going to be enhanced if you Google some of this stuff.
Google
some of the images of this if you're not worried about having it spoiled. But it's a beautiful statue.
It really is.
All right. We have another movie. We have another movie location, Craig.
Mm-hmm.
So in the last episode, we did talk about the Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
If you build it, I'm guessing that's the voice of Kevin Costner. That's my guess, Megan.
Okay.
In the last episode, Megan did share with us that nobody knows. The director had never revealed who was the voice actor that said that if you build it, they will come. Mm-hmm. It just seems appropriate that if it's like this godlike creature, that he would speak in the voice of the person that's listening. So I'm guessing that it's Kevin Costner.
There you go.
That's
unofficial. Unofficial.
Yeah, that's my assessment. Anyway.
Heard it here first.
I digress. The next movie takes place in Iowa is the romantic drama Bridges of Madison County. Craig, have you seen this movie?
I have, and I've seen this iconic covered bridge that you're talking about. So
there's several, right?
There are multiple bridges of Madison County.
Yes.
So the Roseman covered bridge is like the main one that is like the centerpiece of the Bridges of Madison County story, and was used prominently in the filming. So this is one that actually was very much filmed in Winterset in Madison County, Iowa, which is just like 35, 40 minutes from Des Moines. So really, really close. If you're in the Des Moines metro, but there are actually six remaining covered bridges in Madison County that you can visit.
What's the history? Why did they have to have the bridges covered in the area? That's a good question.
I think it's honestly just like a building style, because New England has some too. They are definitely like more picturesque than your standard bridge, and a lot of them have been rebuilt. There's been a couple that have been vandalized over the years, but like mid 1800s, like late 1800s, 1870s, 1880s, So very much the, and it might have been like a weather thing too, like trying to protect, because a lot of them are wood. So trying to protect the actual integrity part of the bridge by covering it so it's not covered with snow or kind of exposed to some of those elements. But yeah, the Roseman covered bridge is definitely the most iconic one because of both the book and movie Bridges of Madison County. And then it also is the one that has the haunted backstory to it, which is kind of a
we like that. We like haunted.
Yeah, so that one, there's a lots of local stories about people hearing. So there's only, I believe there's only one that you can still drive across with a car. Mm-hmm. All the other ones have been closed to car traffic and are like footbridges only, where you can kind of park and walk across if you want. But lots of local stories for this one of people hearing like horse hooves or wagon wheels.
Oh, of course.
Or just having like very weird experience, like very weird cold spots, dogs not wanting to walk across the bridge, that type of a thing. But the main story for this one was that there was there's two stories. There is a man who had escaped the county jail that is in Winterset, and the sheriffs were pursuing him, and he ran across the bridge, and they had him like trapped on the bridge. And the legend is that he rose through the roof of the bridge with like a wild scream and completely disappeared.
What?
And so then the thing from that was like they never found him and decided like anyone who could do that was probably innocent, so it was probably fine.
I think that's just law enforcement back in the day covering their own tracks. But anyway,
yes. And then the other piece of folklore is a young suitor whose father of his love interest did not like him and tried to chase him out of town with the help of some other local men. And when he rode on his horse across the bridge, they never saw him come out the other side. How that story goes. So, a very picturesque place, a fun one if you're like a person who likes to visit movie sites, and also a little bit spooky.
So from movie sites, we now go to the weird stuff again. Because number nine on your list, you've got Matchstick Marvels at Gladbrook, and I've just Googled it, and it's incredible.
Isn't it cool? Yeah.
Okay. It is so cool.
I gotta look at it.
You gotta look it up. So tell us about the Matchstick Marvels.
Yeah, so Matchstick Marvels is a, we'll call it a museum. So it is an Iowa-based artist who works exclusively in matchsticks. And so he started doing this. It's been like more than 40 years now. He's been doing this for quite some time. Wow. I think like the count of matchsticks he's glued together is like in the almost 10 million, like 8 to 10 million. My favorite piece of information I learned is that for a really long time, he didn't know that you could get matchsticks without the striking ends on them. You can just buy the sticks. And so he was cutting them all off to make his sculptures.
Wow.
And then realized like, I don't need to be doing this. But he makes insane models from matchsticks. He has like the Hogwarts castle from Harry Potter. There's a scale model of the U.S. Capitol. He's made
I know Josh's favorite. I know Josh's favorite straight away. I can see it right here. Josh, you're in amazement. I know what photo you're looking at. You're looking at the Back to the Future. Are you looking at the Back to the Future one?
There's a Back to the Future one?
With the clock tower, and he's got the hand model. No. He's got a model of the actual DeLorean as well in Back to the Future.
Like Is it still on display?
The full clock tower.
Some of them are on display at Matchstick Marvels in Iowa. A lot of them are actually on display at different locations around the world. And so you can find some in Ripley's Believe It or Not, in North America and across the globe. I think that there's quite a few that have been acquired by like other collections like that too. Wow. And so they're not all in Iowa, but he does like a big one that he adds to the collection every year. And so I think the most recent one, I think, was the Mars rover.
I was going to say, it's almost full size replica of the Mars rover.
What?
Like it's a real one-to-one replica. The cars are usually
kind of scaled down in matchsticks. Yeah. He did a two-headed dragon that actually like lights up and had components that moved, which was insane.
That's amazing.
They're so impressive. And it's one of those things. And Gladbrook is a tiny, tiny town. but yeah, they're so, so cool.
Okay. We just need to go through a couple of these. I got the list right in front of me.
Yeah, you got
it. So you're right, Megan. The Mars rover, the 2020 Mars rover is one. And fun fact, there's a geocaching connection there. So if you're a geocacher, you know there's a geocache thing on the actual rover on Mars right now. Fun fact. Okay. But that's a different show. Apollo 11 lander.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first one that caught my attention. The Millennium Falcon. Like, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's not at the museum, but this is one of the ones he created.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Fast and Furious Dodge Charger.
And that's got lights inside it, too. I've seen that one.
I'm just going down the list.
Yep.
Harry Potter Hogwarts. That is not at the museum, but that's what he's created.
That one is really cool.
The United States Capitol is there.
Yes.
Yep.
There's lots of stuff connected to Iowa. It's interesting. The Governor's Mansion is there. Mm-hmm. The Sullivan Brothers, the USS Sullivan, which Sullivan Brothers were, I believe, military that died in the war. Their ship is there. Wow.
And just to everyone's information as well, there is an admission fee for the museum. It's $5 $5 for adults.
$5.
$3 for kids. And if you're under five, it's free. So there you go.
And I think it's cash only.
So. Yeah, cash only. And mostly open 7 days a week from 1 to 5 p.m., so only in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Where is Gladbrook, Megan?
Gladbrook is like northeast of Des Moines, but not quite to like Cedar Rapids, Iowa City area. So north of 80, but yeah.
Very cool. There you go. All right, we have one more We're calling it top 10, but it's sort of randomized because you got to get the book to really, you know, get a sense of all of them. The Billy Clocks Museum in Spillville.
Yep.
Tell us about that one.
That one is up by Decorah, so in northeast Iowa. Okay. And it's the Beely brothers, and Joseph
Beely,
that are in like the early 1910s. So they were farmers and during the winter needed a hobby. And so they decided that they would get into wood carving because they had the supplies for that and figured they might as well. And so they already had a carpentry background, started doing these wood carvings and were just really natural talents at it. And so in like, I want to say it was like 1915, 1916, they created this giant clock. They did a lot of clocks they started making figures. They moved on to clocks and they would make all of the clock mechanisms. And then also the clock faces. And we're talking like life size, like 7 to 8 foot tall clocks, not like, a tiny cuckoo clock on the wall. But they made one that is called the Apostle Clock, where all of the 12 apostles appear on the hour. So it has like a rotary mechanism where they rotate through. They made like an American history clock. They made a memorial clock for Charles Lindbergh. Like they made some really incredible pieces. And both of these men like had never traveled, I forget the exact, but like more than 20 miles from their home. Had like a grade school education, like were just really, really talented craftsmen. And so they never sold any of their clocks. They did start having people come out to their farm to see them. And this is in like the early 1900s. They're having like 1,000 people a day drive to this remote part of rural Iowa to see where they were working and what they had made. They never wanted to sell any of their clocks. I'm absolutely blanking on who tried to buy one. So you'll have to get the book to see.
let's just make up a name.
Jeff Bezos. I did remember. Yeah. this notable business owner tried to buy one of their clocks for like $1 million and they wouldn't sell it to him.
Oh, that's so Iowa.
And so they had this giant collection, decided to move it to Spillville. And donated it to the town of Spillville with the stipulation that they always remain there and that they be available for the public to enjoy in the 1940s. And they've been there ever since. So you can go and see these really incredible clocks.
Yeah.
That are, I mean, truly, truly, like you could stand and stare at one of them for an hour. They're so detailed.
They are incredible, Josh. Again, if you're sitting at your computer at work, whatever, and you've got some time and you listen to us here, Google the not Billy, it's only one L. So
Billy,
Billy Clocks Museum and in Spielville. Mm-hmm. Absolutely incredible, some of these ones. So that's your just 10 out of the out of 84 locations. Mm-hmm. And already
I want the book.
You're salivating, Josh.
But, I want the book.
But we don't just talk about just the weird and wonderful things in Iowa. We're going to talk about the big things in Iowa as well, which is one of Josh's favorites. So apparently there's world's largest things in Iowa.
Yes, and if you follow Megan on Instagram, she has a special feature every week. It is called World's Largest Wednesday.
Yeah.
Where she features a world's largest thing every Wednesday.
Yeah, that started as a little joke. I am not a video person. I'm a words person. But I think like a lot of people was a consumer of TikTok during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And this is a whole nother tangent, but my husband and I eloped and did all of Route 66 and then eloped at the end.
Wow.
And as we were planning it, we were like, I was looking for, you know, things to do, places to stop. And realized there wasn't a ton of Route 66 content on TikTok at the time. And he was like, well, you could do that. Like, why don't you just do that? And so I started a travel TikTok just for fun and started doing World's Largest Wednesday. And it took a couple weeks until one of them like really blew up. And I opened it one day and it was like, we showed this to 3.5 million people. And I was like, what have you done, TikTok? So I've been doing them for more than a year and a half now. And yeah, every Wednesday we talk about a world's largest thing somewhere. So far they've been like continental US because it's been all of the ones that I have been to. But it's, yeah, like 30 to 45 seconds just talking about these giant things you can see around the country. And it has been funny, the ones that people are like contentious about. Like that first one was the world's largest ketchup bottle in Collinsville, Illinois, so like just outside St. Louis, on Route 66, and people were very upset that it is a water tower and it is not actually filled with ketchup. And so that was very funny. But then there were people that were like, where is your sense of whimsy? You know, the world's actual largest ketchup bottle is probably from Costco. And like, this is very fun. And so like, by all means. So it's always a lively discussion.
So Josh, so you got the list there in front of us right now, just a small list by all means, but which one stands out the most to you that we spoke about off air beforehand? The second one down.
The second one down. But that's not the first one that popped up to me, because I've been to the first one on her list because my great grandma lived in this town in Audubon, Iowa. Mm-hmm. I visited this and this, it's so cool because we had Valerie from Silly America. Mm. Do you know Valerie?
Yeah, I do. We actually had been internet friends for years and years. We grew up really close to each other. And then this year we actually got to meet. Now that she lives in Texas, I was down there for work.
So
we got together and it was an absolute blast.
Yeah, we had her on the show to talk about the big things. Mm-hmm. And what she mentioned, we asked her, like, what is your fascination with roadside attractions and big things? And she harkened back to when she was a child and the first time she saw like a big thing. And for me, the very first world's largest thing that I ever saw was Albert the Bull, the world's largest bull in Audubon, Iowa. So I feel like you, on your social media, you feature Albert a lot. Even when you're not talking about Albert, you show a picture of Albert. Let's talk a little bit about Albert, the world's largest bull.
Yes, I have a big soft spot for Albert too. And I know we talked about this last episode, but it is very funny. My grandparents-in-law are in Audubon, so we go there quite a bit as well. But yeah, he is number one, just very cute. He is actually on the cover of the new book as well, because we just had to give him a special spot. But that part of Iowa had a really prominent cattle industry, still does. And so they decided they wanted to pay tribute to that somehow. And so they did that by making Albert the Bull in the 1960s. And he's like we're saying he's big. He's like 30 feet tall and has, I think he weighs like 45 tons. He's like concrete wrapped or like chicken wire wrapped in steel wrapped in concrete. But yeah, it's just such a fun like nod to the local industry, kind of what that area is about. And then he also has had quite the illustrious time in pop culture. So he was mentioned in one of the Beethoven movies. He's been an answer on Jeopardy. Somebody told me recently, and I like had to go through and double check, he is in the Twilight movie. There's like a moment where she has a t-shirt quilt that her mom has made her, and there is a Albert the Bull t-shirt on the t-shirt quilt.
Funny.
Which is just like a really funny nod. But yeah, he's a really great one. And if you're traveling, especially if you're traveling across Iowa on I-80, which I think is a lot of the way that people interact with Iowa sometimes, yes. Audubon is like 20 minutes north off of 80 on an exit. Yes. So it's a very cute town. Named for John James Audubon, of the Audubon Society. So there's lots of good bird facts and knowledge there. But then you can also stop and see Albert and take a photo with him.
Does Albert still talk? I remember as a child, you went to the kiosk and you press the button and you learn all about stuff.
Yes, it talks. You can hear him moo. And they actually just added the cattle industry was really tied to the rail line. So they would load all these cattle onto the rails and ride with them into Chicago to the slaughter yards. And that was like a big economic boon for the community. And so they added a replica rail car with like a lot of historical pictures and information kind of to the side of him. And this summer I was up there for a different event for work, and they actually just got a penny press machine with Albert the Bull on it. So if you're a person that likes a press penny, you can get one with him, his front or his backside, which I thought was very funny.
You Americans, you love your press pennies for some reason.
Yeah.
So Craig, he does, he is certainly a bull. He is not a cow.
Yep.
If you know what I mean.
But,
have a video. I actually have a video. This is a very early geocaching vlogger video, like 2011, where I visit Albert the Bull. So we'll have to put that in the show notes. You can see my visit to Albert many, many years ago.
We have one of the biggest things as well. And I think it's the world's biggest as well in Australia. And it's the sheep or ram. It's in the middle of my old state in New South Wales. And it's probably twice the size of your bull, just to let you know. Whoa. Humongous. And again, if you go to the backside, it is a ram. Just saying. Mm-hmm. Like you can, I've got photos of me standing underneath holding these two big things above my head. So I know, right? Yeah. I know. Going on to the next one though, Josh, I've just Googled this one.
I can't believe this.
I Googled it. Guess what? Real one. It's real.
I believe it. But here's the thing. Now I'm getting to the point now, Megan, where I'm feeling like I'm not going to Google anything because it's going to spoil it for me.
No, it doesn't.
It's the world's largest Cheeto.
Yes.
What? Yeah.
It's in Iowa?
It is an actual Cheeto.
And it's an actual Cheeto, Josh.
It is, yes. It was found in a bag of Cheetos in Hawaii in 2003.
What?
And it is, so like for visual reference, your normal bag of Cheetos is like a little over 2 ounces. This Cheeto is like more than half an ounce just for one Cheeto. So it's pretty big. Right. It's like a little bit bigger than a silver dollar. It got to Iowa because it was not found here. It got here because the guy who did find it put it on eBay as an auction. And apparently you cannot auction, like similarly to like the toast with the face of Jesus, you can't auction food on eBay. I guess it is against their rules. And so they shut it down, but it had already gotten the bid was over $1 million.
Wow.
And there was it's in Algona, Iowa, which is a small town in northern Iowa. But there was a local radio DJ who wanted to try to bring it to Iowa. And so the guy who found it had seen that. And he had raised a little bit of money. And so the guy who with the Cheeto was like, you know what? I think this is really funny. Decided to send it to Algona, donate the money to the local food pantry. And they got the Cheeto. And so then it needed a place to live, obviously. And so it bopped around for a little bit. And then one of the local restaurants took it. And that restaurant closed and got new owners. And with some of the restaurant equipment and things in the restaurant, they inherited the world's largest Cheeto. And so if you go to Emeralds, which is a really great restaurant in and of itself. But if you go to Emeralds, it is on a purple velvet pillow. There's like an orange blown glass like pedestal. And it is on a purple velvet pillow under a glass case, like in their bar area. So if you're there and you can't find it, you can ask one of the servers. They will begrudgingly tell you where it is.
And I've even seen photos, Josh, where they dress it up with a little Santa hat, obviously at Christmas time as well.
Yeah, sometimes it is seasonal, but it's seen better days. I think it's getting a little crumbly. So.
Yeah. Okay. And Megan, just to let you know as well, I did Google it up, and one of the first things to pop up was your TikTok saying World's Largest Wednesday. So I there love you go. It. Yeah, there you go.
So here's the thing. It kind of blows my mind because you know what I was picturing like a statue. Oh, yeah. A giant Cheeto. I wasn't expecting an actual real
Cheeto.
A lot of them are statues of things, but this one, no, is a real. Yeah,
this one's real Cheeto. But I googled it, Josh, and there is a statue of like three fingers holding a big Cheeto. Yes. But I don't know where that is. That. Yeah, there's
in Canada. It's in Alberta. Yeah, which is also pretty epic. It's called the Cheeto Hand, and it's a statue. So that's what I was picturing in my mind. But it's really funny that it's actually a real Cheeto.
It is indeed
a Cheeto. Yeah. So next on the list, Megan, we have the world's largest golden spike, like a golden spike.
Yeah. So this one is a giant, like a railroad spike. And so it is in Council Bluffs. So if you're seeing the squirrel cage deal that we talked about previously, you can also stop and see this one. But it is at the terminus of the Transcontinental Railroad that ended there in Council Bluffs in the 1860s. And so they use this like ceremonial golden spike to finish the railroad. And so they decided, why not build a 56-foot tall one instead to really hammer that home? And part of that story is that there was the movie Union Pacific was premiering in Omaha, and Council Bluffs and Omaha have a little bit of a cross-state rivalry. And because Council Bluffs is actually where the railroad terminus is, they decided they were going to remind people of that even though they didn't have the premiere, that they were actually the site. And so they built this giant golden spike in the 1930s just to be like this.
And just to let you know, it is golden and it is giant and it is sitting there proud as punch with the spike side up as well. So.
Yes, spike side up. Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is that a golden spike is a pretty common practice for anything that's like the halfway point, right, of even roads. Because in southern Minnesota, I-90 in Blue Earth, Minnesota, is the golden spike for the I-90, which I-90, of course, goes all the way across the United States. So very close to the Jolly Green Giant statue, which is also one of my favorite big things as well. So let's keep moving here. Yeah. World's largest man-made grotto. And I have seen pictures of this. This is really fascinating. Megan, maybe for our listeners, first of all, maybe explain what a grotto is.
Yeah. And then so
talk about this one.
It is in West Bend, Iowa. It's the Grotto of the Redemption. And if you're not familiar, a grotto is essentially like a man-made. There's non-man-made grottos, so that's like more of a cave. But a man-made grotto is like a kind of like a shrine, a little bit like a mosaic a lot of times, using a lot of different stones. And sometimes they're usually religiously affiliated in some way, similar to this one. And so this one has been called the Eighth Wonder of the World, but started construction in like the early 1910s and it took multiple people to complete it over like almost 100 years. So it was a really extensive process, but was started by a German immigrant who got assigned to the Catholic Church in West Bend and started building it. And people have no idea how long he was collecting stones and the gems that you'll find here, like before he started building.
Yeah.
But they're estimating, and this is probably even an old estimate because they don't love to talk about the value, but like more than $4 million in stones and gems are used. And so it's very beautiful. It has different, I think it has all of the Stations of the Cross. And then like a lot of different areas and different mosaic elements and things. But they see like more than 100,000 visitors every year just to come see
Well, see, the only grotto that I've seen is actually on one of Josh's videos in Memphis, Josh. You went to a grotto there in Memphis.
It's a cemetery.
Yeah, this one looks much, much bigger.
Yeah. It's bigger. Oh, go ahead, Josh.
Go ahead, Bill.
There's another one. I believe there's a near Omaha. There's a small grotto. And then there's also one just across the border from Dubuque into Wisconsin in Dickeyville that is a not quite as big as this one, but is a similar grotto.
And they're almost like... It's like caves. I'm sure there's like little different rooms that you go into. Mm-hmm. The one in Memphis is just one room, but this one I think is just like a lot to explore.
Yes. Yeah. It's very big.
Very cool. And that's in northern Iowa?
Northwest? Yeah. West Bend's in like northwest Iowa.
Yes. Very cool.
Well, the next one, Josh, on the list is the world's, I've Googled this already, the world's largest Pocahontas.
Yeah.
And it's surprising in this day and age that this one's still up.
It is still up. Yeah. This is an interesting one, particularly because she's in the town of Pocahontas, Iowa.
Right.
If you're scratching your head because the actual Pocahontas never came to Iowa, that is correct. So the state senator who was living in that area at the time, was formerly from Virginia. And so he thought that that would be a really good, it's also in Pocahontas County. He thought that that would be a really good name for his county. And so he proposed that in like the mid 1850s and it has stuck. And then about 100 years after that, one of the other state senators from the area decided that the town of Pocahontas and the county of Pocahontas needed a giant statue. And so they commissioned a Minnesota artist to create the design for this giant statue. And she is, like 25 feet tall and I think like 7 feet wide. It's very big.
It's very big.
And like a little bit scary in the eyeballs. like just a little bit. But they had to put it together in pieces. And so you can actually still see the like hook on the top of her head.
Oh, yes.
There's a loop. There's a loop, from where they had to like crane
the head in.
Place it. Yeah.
Jeez.
It looks like also the shelter next to her is it looks like a teepee, but it looks like it's changed over the years. So I don't know. It looks like maybe it was a teepee, but now it's just like teepee shaped.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. There's some other like murals and some other like historic buildings kind of in a little park on the same property. But yeah, that's an interesting one for sure.
Oh my gosh. This one, the world's largest popcorn ball.
And this is, is one that is real popcorn.
It is.
It is.
It is indeed real popcorn. It is in Sac City, Iowa. And so a fun thing I feel like a lot of people don't know about Northwest Iowa is they actually grow a lot of popcorn corn there. So there's like a big industry from that as well. But this is the fourth iteration of the Sac City popcorn ball. They have been bested. They started doing it in the mid-90s. They've been bested a couple times. This one has held on to the record, but it is real popcorn.
Yep.
And they made the existing one is from 2016. So very stale at this point.
It reminds me of Josh a little bit of that paint, the world's largest ball of paint that you want to do a video of as well. It's that sort of style.
Yep. It also reminds me of the twine ball, the world's largest twine ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, by one man, not to be confused.
By one man. Kansas, that's the one in Minnesota. Yeah.
Yeah. Real contentious. But yeah, no, the popcorn ball is wild. I think it weighs like more than 9,000 pounds. It's like 12 feet across. Mm-hmm. And they actually, all of them have been community efforts to make them. And so the one in 2016, they like take community volunteers to help put it together. This one does actually have like a plastic form around it to help it not just like disintegrate. So that was allowed. But yeah, one of my favorite popcorn ball stories is the first one that they made.
Wait. Can you stop there?
More than one?
It's funny that you have many popcorn ball stories.
I do. Oh, yeah. I do. I sure do. I think it's the first one they made. They decided, like, the record had gotten beaten. It was in the mid-90s. They were like, we need to make a new one. We need to somehow dispose of this existing one. And it is, I mean, popcorn and corn syrup. So it is just congealed. Mm. And so they decided, like, what better way than to take it to the county fair and load it up with some dynamite and, like, explode it for the grandstand. And I think in the vision for it, it would, like, rain popcorn, right? Yeah, like, no. That's a fun visual. It was so congealed that it didn't do anything. It flew into the air and, like, fell back down and broke apart into, like, a couple chunks. Because it was so, like, sticky. So the disposal of them has been a time. I think the last, like, the third one that they did, they actually had to remove it on, like, a forklift or, like, with like a bulldozer because they couldn't break it apart too. But yeah,
I keep saying only in America.
Yeah, it's on display all the time. It's in like a shed with like windows around it, so you can peek in.
It's like a beautiful building. It's nice.
They built a really nice building for this one. The previous one, granted, it wasn't quite as big, but they had like a garden shed kind of a thing, and it only had one window and sometimes was hard to see. This one is very, very nice.
You know what, Craig? Mm-hmm. Looking at these pictures, looking at the people that are building this popcorn ball, there's a lot of pride. And you know what? They're proud. They're proud of their popcorn ball.
They sure are.
Josh, just to let you know, Megan, Josh always has to say that in one of these episodes, in which you missed out in the last episode. You didn't say that.
I can't believe I missed it.
You missed it. Well, the next one on your list, Megan, because there's only a few more. Tell me this is not real. It's the world's largest strawberry. Please tell me that's
it. This one is not real.
Oh, good. Not like the Cheetos.
The actual largest strawberry, because I did look this one up, is actually like 10 inches around. So still a really big strawberry, but not quite as big. So this one is in Strawberry Point, Iowa, which is going to be in like the northeast part of the state. And it is a 15-foot tall strawberry sculpture that they commissioned in like the 1960s as a tourism draw for the town. And it is still there. It kind of towers above their city hall. So it's a fun one because it's pretty high up in the air. And so you can get a really good picture of you eating it or posing with it.
That was one of Valerie's from Big Silly America, one of her favorites, because as you know, she dresses like all of the things. Oh. And so she had an awesome like strawberry themed dress. And it was quite a photo shoot.
Her coordinated outfits are so impressive to me. We were chatting about like the system she uses to keep track of all of her clothes and pair them with like attractions. And it's amazing. My like type A brain loves things like that.
And now with AI as well, she doesn't even have to worry about any of that. So she just dresses in a green dress, for instance, and she can be anything.
Changes color.
Changes color with AI.
Yeah.
I know. The next one on the list, Josh.
Mm-hmm. World's largest Swedish coffee pot. And coffee cup. And coffee cup. Can't forget about the cup.
No.
This is a two-for-one in, like, southwest Iowa. So the town of Stanton is a very Swedish town. And so they decided they wanted to do something. But the idea actually came about in the 70s because an actress by the name of Virginia Christine was the spokesperson for Folgers. So she was Mrs. Olson in a lot of the old Folgers TV commercials. And then she was in a lot of their print stuff and even on like the packaging for quite some time. But she's from Stanton. And so they decided to change their water tower into a Swedish coffee pot. And so it's painted very Scandinavian design. And then they added a handle and a spout and like a knob on the top so that it looked like a coffee pot. And it can hold at the time, because it is no longer in use, but like 40,000 gallons of water or 640,000 cups of coffee. And they had this water tower for years and years until 2000. They added a second water tower for the town and turned it into a coffee cup. And so that one is still standing, is still in use as a water tower. But in like 2014, they didn't need to use this water tower anymore. They had updated the water system and it was becoming a liability just because it was aging and some of the supports were going. And so they needed to find something to do with it. So they lowered it and moved it to the Swedish Heritage Cultural Center. So you can see it. It's like ground level now. But they've repainted it and restored it, and it's very beautiful. But yeah, they made sure that they could
Josh, I like as well with the photos how it's painted on the bottom. It's got flames coming up the bottom. The coffee pot's got the flames around the base of it too, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's be real. It's a much better photo op on the ground than it is up high.
Yes. Yeah. So. The cup is really hard to get a photo of because it is like outside of town. And like, I mean, it is a functioning water tower. And so you're like pulled over on a rural highway next to someone's farmland that has this water tower. So,
yeah. Now, Megan, we were talking before, Josh and I were talking off air as well. We were talking about how our phone listens to us, right? And we were talking about this upcoming show only like within the last few days. And of course, I then get this on my TikTok account, and that is the world's largest truck stop.
Yeah.
It's actually got a name. Was it Iowa 80 or something it's called?
Yes, the Iowa 80 truck stop is the world's largest. Mm-hmm. And it is, if you're driving across Iowa on I-80, it is like just into the state on the eastern side of the state. Because I grew up in the Chicagoland area, it is my halfway point stop pretty much anytime I drive to Chicago from Des Moines. And it truly is the world's largest truck stop by acreage and area. But it is like your normal gas station truck stop. It's open 24 hours a day. So it makes for a really good place to stop if you're driving through. But they also have, I mean, they have a dentist, they have a they have a workout room, they have laundry, they have, you know, all of those things that as someone who's on the road a whole bunch, you would want. But yeah, like a chiropractor, a barber, they have a library, just like really, really any amenity you could possibly think of. And then last year, I learned that every year they do a trucker's jamboree, which they started in like the 1970s, I think. But it's like a weekend long community celebration for like the trucking community and then people who are just like fans of the truck stop. And so they have like Trucker Olympics where they do like tire flipping and a water balloon toss. And they have live music and food and antique trucks on display. And it's a fun time. So you can
Josh, when I was researching this a little bit the other day as well, I didn't believe this, but it's been open 24 hours a day for 7 days a week since 1964. So it has not closed its doors an hour since 1964. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely incredible.
Well, it's basically its own little city for truckers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And the thing to stop at if you do have some time is the Iowa 80 Trucking Museum. So it's not in the main truck stop building. It's like behind on the campus. But it's a completely free museum, and they have hundreds of vintage cars, vintage trucks, like really cool kind of like travel and roadside memorabilia, just because the man who started the truck stop was a big collector and it was his dream to be able to share all of that with people. And so they have a really fun, cool museum, and they throw birthday parties for the trucks too as they age. And so some days if you visit, they might have cake, which is another fun thing.
There you go.
Well, we have one more on the list here. Mm-hmm. There probably are more. We could talk to you forever. And if you are not convinced at this point that you should spend some time in Iowa, I mean, you haven't been listening to this podcast or these two podcasts. The last one we have here written down is the world's largest wood nickel, which I have a question about because I have been in Casey, Illinois.
Yeah.
And there's a wood nickel there. Apparently, Casey's is not the largest.
It is not.
It's somewhere else.
Yes, it is this one. I love Casey. We went last summer. It's so great. but yes, this one is in Iowa City and was created in 2006 because there was a man who was upset that they were going to be changing some speed limits in the area. So it's in like the part of Iowa City, if you're headed away from downtown, where it kind of turns into a rural highway. And they were talking about increasing some of the lanes and changing the speed limit. and some of the local neighbors didn't like that. And so this man decided he was going to spend more than 6 months making a giant wooden nickel that does say vote for common sense and don't tread on me. So it is also some protest art for you. But yeah, it is very large. It's a buffalo nickel And it is in kind of like a, because it is on a rural highway, it's a little bit hard to stop at, but there is like a bike trail a little bit up that you can park in the parking lot there and kind of like walk across and see the wooden nickel that way. But yeah, so, it is a sight to behold.
So his hope was to make it a spectacle and thus people would slow down and look at it.
Potentially, yeah. I think that was like an unintended consequence, which I kind of love.
So it actually kind of worked.
It did kind of work, yeah.
Because, yeah, people slow down now, look at it, and they're trying to find a place to pull off and park so they can get a photo.
I'm looking at it right now. There's got to be a geocache there. There's got to be.
Has to be.
I'd be shocked.
At least a virtual, if not an actual real
cache. Yes. A virtual geocache, which is, I don't know how familiar you are with geocaching, Megan, but that's like, you just take a picture or whatever.
Yeah.
She's shaking her head. How many finds have you got? How many?
Yeah. Do you have an account?
Do you have a geocaching account? I don't know. It has been a very long time since I have geocached, but I am friends with a lot of geocachers. And then I have a husband who really got into Pokemon Go. So all of the like locations, because they have the same core map, we were very familiar for a long time with that. So.
That's really cool.
That's funny because Craig was just in New York City last weekend for Pokemon Go Fest in New York City.
Fun. Well, I wasn't there for that.
But I'm
overlapping.
I saw them. Yeah, I saw them. I saw them happening in the middle of the park. Thousands of people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was...
So, Josh, we've gone from the world's largest. We're going to wrap it up very soon as well. There's only a couple of things, more things we need to talk about. So we talked about the world's largest and the weirdest and all that sort of stuff. But what about just the normal things you can go to? We spoke about the Iowa State Fair as well in comparison.
Yes.
But Megan, there's a National Balloon Classic.
I want to do this.
It's very fun. Tell us about it. So it is typically the last week, the last weekend in July, first weekend in August, and it's held in Indianola, Iowa, so just south of Des Moines, like maybe 25, 30 minutes, and it has been in Des Moines, or in that area, for like, 30 to 40 years now, so I think when you see like all the photos of like the ones in New Mexico and some of those like big ballooning events, a lot of those same people come to Iowa to compete and be part of this balloon event as well. And so in the mornings they do competitions. And so if you've never seen hot air balloons, it's just fun in general. But if you've never seen them compete, it's super interesting. They have to like drop bags onto targets and like land with precision and things like that. It's really fun. And so that's one of my favorite times to go because it's also free admission. And so you can just go with your coffee if you don't mind an early morning. They do launch, I think, at like 6:30, and it is very weather dependent. And so balloons, I think they need like under 5 miles an hour for sure wind. So it's tricky in the summer sometimes, but then you can also go in the evening and they do launches. They do some flights too. So if you want to ride in a balloon, there's the opportunity to do that. But then they also do some events that they call like a night blow where they just anchor all the balloons and inflate them and they get like the really fun shaped ones.
Oh, yes.
And then light them up in the night. And so that is really a good time, especially if you're with little kids.
Have you ever been in one of the balloons, Megan?
I haven't. No, I was just talking to somebody about this. I'm like a medium afraid of heights person, but I think I'd be okay in a balloon. Like it's usually like bridges that I'm
it's very peaceful.
Suspension bridges. Yeah, it sounds very nice. But if you're not visiting Indianola during the festival, they have a National Balloon Museum too, where you can go learn about the history of ballooning and see like a bunch of vintage balloons, and then also see the U.S. Ballooning Hall of Fame is located there.
Well, just to let you know, Josh, as well, I've actually been in a balloon, and it was in Australia. Now, think of this. Across Melbourne. Melbourne is a city in Australia. So I think it's the second biggest city in Australia as well. So it's got the sky towers and everything as well. We launched the balloon from just outside of Melbourne, and the way the wind was going, it actually blew us directly across the center of Melbourne city itself, CBD, and we were going through the actual towers. It was incredible. Wow. Absolutely incredible. That's cool. That was a few years ago now, back in my heyday. But yeah, that was a few years ago now. Yeah, that was beautiful. And we landed then into a valley where it's a wine valley, and then went on a winery tour after that. So, Yeah, gorgeous.
It sounds beautiful, but it sounds a little freaky. I mean, you're in a basket.
Yeah.
And in the sky.
Yeah.
And like you say, and the wind was blowing, like how, you know, I've watched too many TikTok videos of balloons landing out of control.
Yeah, the landing. See,
TikTok's
part,
ruined it for some people.
Like less. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. One last location we need to talk about, and that is in Mason City, Iowa, which, again, I know some things, Megan, about Mason City. It is the hometown of, I believe, Meredith Wilson, who is the creator of The Music Man.
Yes.
And there's going to be trouble in River City. River City is based on that fictional town, or Mason City is based on the fictional town of River City that is in The Music Man. So, but you said that there is some art. There's some sort of art in Mason City that I don't know about.
Yeah. So Mason City is, their big things are kind of Music Man history, Meredith Wilson, and then it is also home to the historic Park Inn Hotel, which is the last Frank Lloyd Wright hotel that you can actually stay in. And so that is a fun gem too, but they have a lot of, because of both of those things, they're a community that really appreciates the arts. And so they have a lot of great public art in Mason City. And so a lot of their murals are Frank Lloyd Wright themed, which is really fun. They also have a really great art museum that's in a historic home, the Charles McNider Art Museum. And they have one of the fun things they have there is, what is his first name? Bill Bard, I think is his name. But he grew up in Mason City and is responsible for the puppets that are used in The Sound of Music. So like the Lonely Goat Herd puppets from scene. He was a puppeteer and a puppet maker. And so they have like the largest collection of his puppets anywhere in the world. And he has Wizard of Oz ones. But they have the whole Lonely Goat Herd collection as well. So that's like a fun, weird thing. And then Mason City also has an installation called Rancho Deluxe, which is like it's kind of like an outsider art repurposed junk art situation.
Yeah, folk art.
It's really cool.
Yes, I've been there.
Yeah, it's like
there's a geocache
acre.
There's a geocache in the bathtub.
Oh, see, that's a good one.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
No, it's
sorry to interrupt. I got really excited because I've been there.
No, I love that. But yeah, it's a local who started, I think, like more than 30 years ago, just collecting things from around the community, and he adds to it still. But yeah, like old license plates, old, you know, anything and everything has been repurposed there.
But you can tell Josh as well, the town loves this art, because I'm just looking it up as well. And like you've got, you know, River City sculptures on parades, and there's like all over the town, there's all these sculptures. I'm looking at some here now, like there's three eggs, like, you know, what do you call it? The egg fell off the wall. What's it called?
Oh, Humpty Dumpty.
Humpty Dumpty. So there's these three Humpty Dumpties, but they're playing different musical instruments. But my favorite, Josh, is one, and it's a beaver, and his name's Bucky. So I'm not sure if you've got Buckies in Iowa, but his name's Bucky, and a beaver with two big teeth coming out the bottom as well. He probably stands 4 foot, 5 foot tall. He's from Dale Lewis, and Dale Lewis, it's dedicated to Central Park Dentistry. With these two big bucky teeth.
That's funny. Yeah, their sculptures on parade are really fun. And they actually, so some of them they've like purchased, but then they also rotate out every year. So every year they get like a new crop of sculptures, and then it's a community voting. And so people will vote on their favorite ones, and the community will keep the fan favorite, but then you can also purchase them too, and they swap out. So yeah.
And just to let you know, Megan, as well, when I Googled that, of course, Olio in Iowa comes up first, saying four ways to experience art in Mason. So there you go. It happens. And Bucky is actually on the main cover. You featured Bucky on the main cover. So there you go.
Yeah, he's a fun one.
Wow, Josh. So, what two big episodes we've had.
Yeah, we've just scratched the surface, too. Yeah. Because in Secret Iowa, the book that has just come out, there are 84 different locations in Iowa. So, Megan, I should have asked you this the first time. I just made assumptions. But where is the best place for people to purchase your book?
Yeah, so you can find it wherever books are sold. If you go to secretiowa.com, you can order them directly from me as well, and I can you know, sign them or personalize them or whatever you want that way. But yeah, any of your major retailers, I'm always a big fan of supporting your favorite local indie too. So if you're in Iowa, a lot of the local indies will have them as well.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
And where else then, Megan, as well, where else can people see you? Like just photos and stuff as well, like your social media stuff.
Yeah. So I'm on basically any social media platform you can think of, all at Olio in Iowa. So OLIO in Iowa. And you'll find me.
Very cool. And that's all on, yeah, on all your social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok as well. Mm-hmm. We love a TikTok, Josh, don't we?
Yes, we love a good TikTok.
Anyway, Josh, we're going to get a Patreon only competition out there right now. Okay. No, right now. And then we're going to release the results on today when this publishes. So how does that sound?
Sounds fantastic.
Very good. Very good. And they win one of Megan's books. So if you want to be a Patreon, though, how can you be a Patreon?
If you want to join our Patreon, support everything we're doing on the Treasures of Our Town podcast, consider joining us at patreon.com/treasuresofourtown.
And so next episode coming up, it's another hidden secret because we don't know what it is yet. So we'll let you know via our social medias. And how can they contact us by social media, Josh?
Reach us at treasuresofourtownpodcast@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And all these episodes are actually uploaded to YouTube. So if you're a YouTube person, you can find us there.
Exactly. So that's our show for today. Please subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting app. And as always, Josh,
may your travels always lead you to the most unexpected and amazing hidden gems in places like Iowa. We'll see you next time, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you for hanging out with us.
And we'll see you next time. Bye.